Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, July 21st. Did you know today is National Hot Dog Day?
Man, they got a national day for everything these days.
They do.
They really do.
But
National Hot Dog Day.
Hot dogs are so bad for you, but I love them, you know? They're so
terrible
good.
For you.
I know, but yeah. Once a week I'll have one or two, you know?
That's a frequent hot dog.
It is frequent?
Yeah.
Okay, once every 2 weeks then.
Yeah.
But we make them at home, too, you know, so maybe it's a little healthier. I don't know.
I don't know. It's more about what it's made out of, not how it's made, really. But I think what I really love is going to places, because I do the vegan dogs, which are honestly really great, and it sounds weird, but hot dogs are weird in general, you know what I mean? And it's an easy thing to replicate. So what's weirder, a bunch of ground up animal parts? My mom always called them lips and ears, or, you know, some tofu that's flavored like smoky. Both weird. But I love when you go to places and they have like different kinds of hot dogs. Like you can do like hot dog banh mi's where it's got like the pickled vegetables on it. Like you can just do different kinds of toppings.
Right.
That's my favorite way. There was a bar in New York actually that did, for $10, you could do a beer, a shot, and a hot dog.
Really?
And they had like the fun hot dogs too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gotta love a fun hot dog.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have Nathan's here, but they do in New York, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
At least at the beach, they do.
Yeah.
And all.
Well, that's the kind I actually bought last time I was in the store. I buy like they come 4 or 5 in a package, but I only have like 2, and then I throw it away. So.
Yeah.
But several places are going to give people special deals. Like Nathan's going to give people, he's going to sell it for 5 cents, a hot dog, until 2 o'clock.
Wow. It's like 1940 or something.
Right. And then there's going to be some specials at 7-Eleven, at Auntie Anne's, Dog House.
Oh, at Auntie Anne's, they're pretzel dogs.
Yeah.
Those things look suspicious.
They're fucking good.
They look like uncircumcised wieners. They just do. Every time I look at them, I'm like, it's so accusatory. They're just looking at you like, hey, baby.
Yeah. What, like those pigs in a blanket?
Yeah, the hot dogs wrapped in the, yeah.
And then they have them wrapped in bacon, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Those are like evil, man.
Yeah, we're not kosher here, I guess.
No, we're not talking about kosher. I was only kosher while my parents were still having an effect on me.
Yeah, that's
some influence, you know.
Yeah, totally.
But then I came here and nobody eats kosher here, and I thought, I tried pork. I thought, wow. This is good. I like this.
We didn't grow up kosher either. I mean, my mom makes amazing, I don't eat meat now, but my mom makes amazing pork chops.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those videos where they pour the Coca-Cola over the pork and all the worms come out? Because pork has a lot of worms in it.
It does.
It does.
Really?
Yeah.
Every kind of pork?
Yeah.
Like ham and bacon and all that?
All of the above.
Wow. Maybe that's why they don't eat it like kosher, you know?
Yeah, they
like
consider
Muslims
it to be
don't
dirty.
Eat it either, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I read that back in the old days, like, you know, in the biblical times, pigs were like unholy or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They sort of like demonized pigs, I think. I don't know.
Which is crazy because we are genetically the closest to pigs than we are anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's like where they live and what they eat, you know? I mean, they live in fucking, in their shit and in mud, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe that's why.
Yeah.
It's not a clean animal, you
know? I mean, they like the mud, though, because they have similar skin to us. You know, if you look at a pig, they don't typically have a lot of hair. So when they're out in the sun all day on the farm, they start to get sunburned and start to get itchy. So they cover themselves in mud to help prevent the burning of their skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. It's better not to see the animals we eat. That's for sure. That's why you don't eat animals, because it's gross, right?
Yeah. 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 I mean, I ate meat for a long time. Right. I went vegan when I was 19. Yeah. And for like, I was a big time meat eater. Like steak was my favorite food ever. And I would eat it rare. I would eat beef tartare. I would eat raw fish. I ate everything. Like I grew up, my mom fed us octopus when I was 6 years old. Like we just grew up eating a really, really wide variety of things.
Right.
And you know, we shopped at Asian supermarkets, so we ate a lot of things that like were not typically eaten in an American diet.
Right.
So I've had a lot of exposure to a lot of food.
Yeah.
And I didn't even go vegan for the animals in the beginning. I had a friend who is Greek Orthodox, and for Lent her mom basically made them all go vegan for like 2 weeks or something, and she was like, do it with me please, because her and I used to go out to eat all the time, and she was like, I couldn't bear it if we were to go out to eat and you're eating all the things I want to eat. She's like, just do it with me. And I was like, okay, fine. So you know, I've always been a cook as well. So I just like kind of like over that 2 weeks, I didn't eat meat. I didn't eat dairy. I was eating like really healthy stuff. I ended up like losing like 10 pounds without changing anything else. My acne went away. I had acne all over my chin, all over my chest. It went away in like 2 weeks and had already started healing. I didn't have any asthma issues for 2 weeks. Like my health did a complete 360.
Right.
It was insane.
Do you think it was like psychosomatic type of thing? Like maybe in your head, like, you know, you felt that I should feel better. I should look better if I don't eat meat.
No, not
maybe,
at all.
Maybe
I thought,
it happened.
No, because I thought people, I had a vegetarian friend at the time and he looked so sick all the time. He was super skinny. He kind of had a gray complexion. And so, you know, I never thought like, you know, on the East Coast, people don't idolize vegetarian and veganism the way they do on the West Coast. On the East Coast, like they think like it's a lot of Italian and Jewish families where they're like, you got to eat this. You got to eat this. You're looking skinny. So, you know, by not eating meat, I thought that would be more unhealthy. I thought that I would look more frail, not frail, but look like weak or have worse complexion or whatever. Like I thought meat was the staple of health. So I think if anything, it was a complete shock to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I started eating meat again and all my symptoms came back, everything came back. And then from that point forward, I would give up meat for like I would go vegan for like a month and then start eating meat again. Then I would go for 2 months and then start eating meat again. And after a year of going back and forth, and just proving myself wrong time after time, I just decided to finally go for it. And the more knowledge I gain about veganism and you know, the American farming, like, you know, if you want to go out and hunt your own food and eat your food, I have complete respect for that. But the American food industry, the meat and the dairy industry is total torture. And, you know, just morally, I don't agree with it. Mm. And as time goes on, I do it more and more. I mean, now I do it for both animals and health, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Well, you think we're bad? I mean, like in Asia, they cook animals alive. They boil them alive and eat them alive.
I mean, you should see what they do on factory farming here,
it's
too.
Unbelievable. What?
Like the what factory farms here, like they sear chickens' beaks off. Just the way they torture the animals, like
why do they do that?
I mean, I could just send you some videos.
Yeah.
You know.
When they're alive?
Yeah. Mm. And I mean they torture the animals while they're alive. We like to blame Asia for, you know, their practices because they do it right out on the open in the street markets, whereas the American farming, you know, it's an ugly truth, but it's the truth and it happens just behind closed doors. So
yeah,
you know, it's easy to blame people who are doing it out in the open, you know.
Well, it's not quite the same because we're not eating it alive, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I understand the, you know, how they treat, I don't agree with it, but I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, you know, to put dogs in hot water and then eat them while they're alive. Excuse me, I talked to someone about that and they said, yeah, apparently when the dog is afraid and scared, it tastes better.
The cortisol.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a stress hormone, yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I know, I try not to think about it. When I, because I like meat, like,
You know, yeah, meat's delicious. That's never been an argument that I've had, is that meat's
right. It's just the way the animals are treated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but
I mean, like, I eat fake meats.
I don't know how true it is, but with kosher meat, supposedly they don't make the animals suffer, you know.
Supposedly, yeah.
Supposedly. I don't know how it works, but
they usually hang them upside down and slit their throats so the blood drains immediately.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible to think about that, you know?
Yeah.
But
again,
yeah,
like, today, if it was more humane, like if there wasn't factory farming and we all just... and that's another thing. I think people are so far away from what's actually happening to their food. Like the kid I babysit for, or I used to babysit for, she didn't even know that a chicken leg was a chicken's leg. Mm. You know, like we are so far removed from where our food actually comes from.
Right.
You know, not just with animals, with everything. Like we eat so much processed food in the American diet, or in Western culture, we just eat so much processed food. We don't realize how many chemicals are in all this, the shit that we're eating, you know?
Right.
So it's not just meat and dairy and how we're separated from that process. We're separated from the complete process, and people
right.
don't care because we just want fast, cheap, and now.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
And we don't want to see how the food is made or brought to us. You
yeah.
know?
When I used to work at a burger shop that was inside of a butcher shop, funny enough. And people, like half of it was the butcher shop, and people would come in, and we had people coming in and like screaming and crying because they wanted to get a burger, but they were disgusted because they could see the raw meat in the case behind us.
Wow.
And I'm like, lady, like, what do you think you're eating? You know, just because now it's like brown and has, you know, like the crispiness to it doesn't mean it wasn't that before.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, it beats catching your own food, but you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess some things we just prefer not to think about, you know.
Mm-hmm. And look, I get like it's easy because we were all raised for not all, but for the most part, I would say 99% of people are raised eating meat, eating dairy.
Right.
Eat, you know, like I grew up eating everything, like Jewish
right.
family, we had brisket, we had lox, we had
yeah,
just dairy products all the time. And it was also the 90s, so like there was like Cheetos in my house and Hot Pockets and
right.
just so much stuff that, you know, you just don't think about, and it's really hard to change the mindset. Like it's easy to feel like you're back up against the wall, or like I think people sometimes, like I don't really talk about being vegan a lot. And I never really bring it up unless, you know, someone's like, oh, what did you do on Sunday? I'm like, oh, I went to a vegan food festival. You know, like it's not something I ever bring up. And all the vegans I know don't ever really bring it up either. It's usually when I'm eating something and someone's like, oh, what is that? And I'm like, oh, they're vegan wings. And they're like, oh, that's weird. What are you like? Tell me about it. And so I'll tell them about the product, and then they're like, oh wow, you talk about being vegan a lot. I'm like, you literally just asked me a bunch of questions, you know
right.
what I mean? So I think sometimes people like do know where their food comes from, and they avoid wanting to know more about where it comes from, and they avoid wanting to like actually face the fact that their food comes from a certain place, and it is what it is, you know. And I think they feel bad about it, but it's not something they're ready to actually face or do something about or change. And that's okay if you don't want to change it. You don't have to change it. I'm never going to tell somebody to go vegan. I'm just going to say, hey, do you want to taste this? This is delicious. You know, that's always my standpoint.
Right.
And so then I think people get their back up against the wall, and then they feel like vegans are being bossy about what it is that they're doing. And yes, there are some vegans that do that, but I've never had a vegan yell at me about not being vegan, but I've had meat eaters for, it's 13 and a half years that I've been vegan, I've had meat eaters constantly ridicule me for the things that I'm eating constantly. So yeah, that's,
well, I don't understand the ridiculing you. I mean, what is this, you know?
I mean, they'll just like 20 questions me about what I'm eating or what I'm doing, and then they'll be like, wow, you talk about this a lot, you're really pushing this on me. And I'm not at all. I wasn't saying anything.
Right.
They're the ones that were inquiring. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, maybe that's their own guilt or something.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think people feel guilty and, you know, Yeah. It's like when you feel guilty about something and then someone points it out, it's like you kind of feel like defensive for a second before you're like, wait a minute, let me give myself a second here.
Right.
And that's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's about, I guess, in every argument, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're right. You know, I mean, there's always conflict between vegans and meat eaters, you know.
Totally.
And I don't know why. I mean, who cares, you know?
Yeah, and I'm the same way with political stuff. Like, I never feel like I need to sit down and yell at somebody about their point of view or about eating meat or you should go vegan and this and that. I'm not going to throw blood on anyone and say meat is murder. And a lot of vegans would, and there's a justified point as to why they would, but I just don't think that that's the way to reach people. I love food, and I think food is the key to people's heart. Mm. I mean, how great does it feel when you're sitting around a table with all of your friends and family and everyone's enjoying an amazing meal, having a great time? Like, I think that's the best time ever. So for me, I just like to expose people to things that taste good that actually are vegan. Like, hey, try this thing. See how amazing this is. And that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Hmm. Very cool. You can eat falafel. That's vegan.
I know. When I went on the birthright trip, it was like falafel every day for like 10 days. On like the fifth day, I was like, I can't eat another falafel.
It's the best stuff.
It's so good.
It depends where you get it, of course, you know, because it's easy to screw it up. It really is because it gets dry. And
then it just becomes like a fried ball of breading.
So it's absolutely important to eat it hot as it comes out of the oil.
Mm-hmm.
So
with tahini.
Yeah. You know, but the thing is that you can't, like, there's places you go where it's been sitting around for 2 hours, you know, it doesn't taste good. And it just comes out and you make it the right way. It's crispy outside, softer inside.
Yeah.
And it's the best, you know.
So good.
So that's why in Israel, it's always hot falafel, you know. Not just falafel, but hot falafel.
Hot falafel.
They have to let you know. You know?
Yeah.
But here, there's a couple trucks that have amazing, amazing falafel. You know. So sometimes I go, and unfortunately, you have to wait because they can't give it to you. Don't want it when it's ready already, you know.
Totally.
Right.
You should be happy to wait for it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So they make it specifically for you. And it creates lines, but, you know.
It's fine. Sometimes when you get it's
worth it.
Yeah, totally. I love it. I took a friend like a week ago. He'd never had that kind of food ever. So I took him to like a Mediterranean style restaurant. He'd never had pita bread, never had falafel. So I got this big plate. I know.
Where is he from?
Orange County. And he just has like a very like chicken fingers and pizza kind of palate, just the standard American diet, right? Like chicken fingers, pizza, and Doritos. and like, you know, I grew up, my mom introducing us to a lot of foods. My brother, my sister, and I have all worked in high-end restaurants, both bartending and serving. And so we've just been exposed to like a huge array of different kinds of food, plus the food of each other's restaurants too. So we're all food snobs, plus Philly's a big food snob area. And so I take him to this spot. I'd never been before, but it was actually really good. It was like the smoothest hummus I've ever had. It was so good.
Yeah.
But we had falafel, pita, tahini. There were some grape leaves, which I don't typically get, but they were really great. Baba ganoush. And the baklava was just okay. I was kind of disappointed about the baklava.
Yeah. But it sounds like you went to a Greek place. You know, I mean, Mediterranean, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out what country, because
the grape leaves give it away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you can get Mediterranean, you know, that's Greek or Israeli or Arab.
Yeah.
And they're all a little different, you know.
They are.
They're a little different, but
Lebanese is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Lebanese place in Jersey. It's shout out to Norma's and Couscous. Like, that is my favorite restaurant on the planet, hands down.
Really?
I go there every time I go home.
You should go. There's one down the street here on Woodman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can tell you where it is. And maybe sometime when you're in the area, you should go there.
Yeah.
It's definitely good. I mean, a lot of Israelis go there too, so.
That's how you know it's good. You know? If you show up and it's just Americans, you're
when you cross eat, right?
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. You won't catch a Lebanese person eating in an Israeli restaurant.
No.
But the opposite does happen.
Mm. Yeah.
Man, I mean, fucking even into food, they inject politics, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I think every cuisine has something awesome to offer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people say that like the typical like Jewish food is like terrible, but I'm sorry, man. Like,
it depends, you know.
Matzo
really
ball
depends.
Soup is everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah, matzo ball soup is good. Yeah. I just can't believe you go to a deli and they charge you like $13 for it. I mean, yeah. It's fucking soup.
It's literally broth with like two cracker balls in it.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's water. Yeah. They're selling you water for $13, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So that's high profit right there, you
it's
know?
It's a hot item right now.
Yeah.
But matzo balls like are not hard to make. I just don't want to.
Right.
I just really don't want to.
Yeah.
At all.
Some restaurants make them real good, you know? Why make it yourself? But
I don't know. I've never had any at a restaurant that I liked enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you go to delis, they usually get it right, you know?
Mm.
No?
I'm partial to my mom's. Here? I haven't tried here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've closed a lot of delis here, you know, in the past year. Like Jerry's. Mm. They used to have a few locations. Now, I don't think there's even one in the valley, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
They were all over Ventura Boulevard and everything, so... a lot of things have closed down, pandemic, no pandemic, whatever, you know, but it's it sucks. A lot of places have closed, you know?
Yeah.
And they haven't reopened. Yeah, I was going to go to, on Sunset Boulevard, there's a Mexican restaurant, but you can sit outside.
Mm.
It's kind of like a sport bar, but... with Mexican food.
Sure.
So you sit there, you eat tacos, you drink margaritas, beer, whatever. And it's really cool, you know, to go on the weekend.
Sounds great.
Closed.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that weed cafe? Is that still open?
No.
They never opened it?
No, they opened it, but did not reopen it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know they opened it to begin with. We went.
Right. But that's true.
Yeah.
But they never reopened it. No,
oh,
I
man.
Was looking it up the other day.
Their food was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. And the atmosphere was nice too, right?
It's hard to usually have good food at places that are kind of have that gimmick kind of thing going.
Right.
You know, but the food was actually good.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know, all the great places have been taken away from us with this fucking thing, man. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. I was just reading this morning. I don't know what to believe anymore. But they're saying that some doctors are saying... Don't panic. There's not that many cases in hospitals and all that stuff. So I don't know what to think anymore, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my mom works in a hospital and she said, like, no one's really come in.
Right.
She's like, they have a couple people, but
right,
it's not.
And they're saying, I mean, the majority of the cases right now are the Delta variant. But, I don't know. I don't know. It could be a replay of what we had last year. I don't know.
It could be, but it could also be media just.
Right. Yeah, and besides, we have a lot more experience with it now, you know.
Yeah.
I think last time it was an emergency and we had to close down the economy because nobody knew what to do. It's just like, let's stop it right here.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll get away with it anymore with more lockdowns. I hope it doesn't get to that.
I hope
not. There's so many people I talk to who are so stressed out because of it, you know.
Yeah.
Depressed, all that stuff.
I know.
You know?
Down the rabbit hole we go.
Yeah, yeah.
I did find some really good news, though. The state of California has now passed something that will give all kids who go to public school free lunch. Kids don't have to pay for lunches anymore.
Oh, well, that's
I thought that
nice.
Was really great, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I mean... Finally, something for a good cause.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that actually this morning, and I was like, I'm saving this. Yeah. Sam will want the good news.
Yeah, yeah. California finally doing something I can agree with, for crying out loud.
Mm.
But, the state is awash in money. It just said the way it spends it is unbelievable because, you know, we have such high taxes, it's inevitable they're going to make a lot of money for the state, you know.
The taxes are crazy.
Yeah.
They're so crazy.
They really are crazy, you know. I mean, our gas prices are unbelievable. People are complaining that it went from $1.80 to $2.10 or something. back east or wherever it is.
Yeah, and I'm like, come here.
Yeah, I mean,
it used
what,
to cost me $35 to fill my tank, and it cost me $50 yesterday.
Yeah, and you have a smaller car too, right?
I have a Honda Civic.
Right.
It shouldn't cost $50 to fill a gas tank in a Civic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, man.
Which is what blows my mind is that, like, I know it was a long time ago, but, like, even when, like, my parents were kids, I mean, it's a long time ago, but it's, like, not that long ago. Like,
right.
Gas was, like coins.
Right.
It was coins.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, $50. Like, that's, people used to make that in a week's living and yeah. be doing okay when my parents were kids.
Right.
$50. That's crazy.
It is, man. Like, $4.50, $4.90.
And if you have an SVU, forget about it. I mean, SUV.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I? That's the show. Yeah,
yeah, that's the show. Special victim unit.
Yeah.
Right? But no, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, these people they spend like $80 to $100 to fill their tank.
Yeah. A couple of years ago on the East Coast, I had to fill up my friend's pickup truck. And I remember it cost $60 to fill his tank. And I was like, geez, your car takes a lot of gas.
Right.
And here I am. With a measly little Honda Civic.
I know. And it's not like our wages are that higher from other places, you know? I can't imagine.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's just expensive to live here, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that lives here and makes it through the month, I salute them, you know?
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It's hard, yeah.
It's hard to survive here.
You have to have many streams of income to live here, you know?
You really do.
If you want to be somewhat comfortable.
Right.
I consider myself on the cusp of comfortable.
Mm.
Like, I could be uncomfortable at any moment.
That's true. That's true.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I look at other places and, like, real estate, $300,000 for a mansion, you know? Like, I looked around Houston and stuff. Yeah, $300,000. I mean, a huge house that would cost you probably $1.5 million or something here.
You could maybe because buy a small plot of land with nothing on it for
right.
that here.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, and for $1.5 million here, you don't get that great a house.
You don't you really know? Get a house.
What do you do?
Oh, for $1.5 million. Yeah,
$1.5 million.
Yeah, yeah. You get like,
you know, but it's not
small
like,
home.
Yeah, it's not. It's not like the house for $300,000 that I've seen, you know.
Right, and it's not going to be renovated either.
And, yeah, exactly.
It's not going to be renovated at all.
Right. So it's crazy, you know. I don't know how we live here, but it's hard to...
Because it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fun stuff to do all the time. And, like, the beach is right there.
What fun stuff? Like, what do you have to do, for example, that's fun?
Go to the beach. I can go to my
pool.
Okay,
there's beaches a lot of places, you know?
Yeah, of course. But, you know.
Yeah.
You can also go hiking. And
everywhere
there's lots of really, like, great.
There's nothing we have here that justifies the prices. Just, like, the convenience. We have everything here.
Yeah.
You know? And that, okay, so let's say you pay a little extra to have nice restaurants or nightclubs or something. But if you don't use these things anyway, you don't need them, why even bother living here, you know?
It's more justifiable than paying the same amount to live in New York.
Right.
You know?
No, yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
You know, like that, you're like, okay.
Yeah, no, New York is expensive without reason.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, this is complete garbage. We're in a diaper. I actually saw this TikTok of this guy, and he like comes out of this house in a robe and it's the morning and he stretches and he's drinking coffee. And the caption says, being a millennial, staying at an Airbnb house, daydreaming about owning a house one day. And it's really funny because my generation is the first generation that's least likely to ever own a home.
Wow.
And it's because we're getting denied for $1,100 mortgages while paying $1,800 in rent.
Right.
Which makes no sense at all.
Right.
You know?
Where are you going to get $1,100 mortgage? Here?
Maybe not here.
Yeah,
not but here. Other places in the country.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
You know?
Mean, yeah.
Which is crazy.
I know.
You know? We're all paying way more in for an apartment than we would for a house.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true, you know. And we're not the only expensive place. I mean, obviously,
no
New
way.
York.
Yeah, sure.
But there's other places that are...
I think San Francisco's prices are going to have to crash very soon because it's so dead there.
Yeah.
You know.
Who knows what's going to happen? You bring up San Francisco. I have a story here of a father. He was washing his car outside his home, and a couple people pulled up, robbed him. Well, I don't think he had anything on him, so they ambushed him. They took him captive inside his house, locked him and the family somewhere, asked for the money, and at gunpoint, you know.
Where's that? San Francisco?
San Francisco, yeah.
I'm kind of getting to a point, and I've been thinking about this lately, is that I don't know that I would feel safe in a house.
In a house?
Yeah. Like,
as
I feel
compared
like,
to an apartment?
Yeah. Mm. Like, I know I'm surrounded by way more people and there's probably more foot traffic around, but I feel like if I'm in a house, like I'm on the ground level. Like I remember sleeping at a friend's house. She lives in a rancher and I'm like literally like in the bedroom staring out the window like anyone could just walk up next to the house
right,
and just break in right. or something like the story you just told.
Right.
I feel like kind of safer in an apartment, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah. Hmm. Does sound weird.
Yeah. You wouldn't think, but I kind of do.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know.
Well, but it's not like this shit happens all the time, you know? I mean.
I know, but break-ins happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When I was in New York, people would jump up the fire escapes and break into people's apartments that way and start running through the buildings and stuff.
Right.
But. I don't have a fire escape.
Yeah.
Here
they don't have them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the man is saying, the victim says, I love the city, but the city is changing.
Mm.
Be careful. Be vigilant. If you have to wash your car, do it with a neighbor. Oh, my God. What have we come to?
Yeah.
You know? And so then there's a story here of... of a robbery in L.A. So I guess this guy was walking out of a store and a few guys, I think three guys, tried to rob him at gunpoint.
Mm.
He pulled out a gun, shot a couple guys in the legs, and they're all like running away and shit, you know, and obviously picked up the wrong guy, you know.
Yeah,
but
of course.
We were talking yesterday about having guns and stuff.
Yeah.
And now you see why some people have it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they don't want to be fucked with, you know.
That's why I would.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up next to Philly. Like my sister got held up at gunpoint at like 9 a.m. one day.
Really?
Just in a decent neighborhood. Like it's not like she was in the middle of like nowhere, you know. And so like, you know,
it's scary.
I had a customer at a club I worked at in New York pull a gun out on me. And, you know, I believe in protecting yourself and I just believe in having the proper training and safety, you know, so I absolutely would have a firearm.
So if you had it, would you carry it with you at all times?
Probably not.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, when do you carry it, you know?
I guess. Depends where you're
and
going.
On your body, too. You know, I mean, it's like the guy's going to the store. He's got a handgun on his body. I mean, what the hell, you know?
I mean, that's the thing about it, though, is like the other aspect of owning a gun is there's owning one in the house and also owning one and carrying it around with you. Like, I don't know if it's just me because I'm not used to having one. Maybe people who grow up with guns and have guns with them feel differently. But I feel like that creates an elevated anxiety of living. You know, like I feel like I would constantly be conscious that I have a gun with me. I feel like it almost takes away a little bit of my... It like gives freedom in a way and also takes away a little bit of freedom. It takes away, it gives you peace of mind maybe, but it also like takes away peace of mind because you're like, oh my God, I have a gun on me right now. You know?
That's
so
true. And most of the time you're not going to use it, probably never.
Yeah, hopefully, you
know?
Never.
But then you take it with you, you know?
but also like that could also put you in situations where it might threaten somebody, you know, like God forbid you get pulled over and they see, you know, you lean over to get something out of your ID out of the glove compartment and they see it in, you know, the back of your,
right.
Like, I don't know how people, if it's like the movies, if they just tuck it into the back of their pants. Like, I don't know, but.
That's true. I mean, where the hell do you carry it? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's pretty scary.
It is.
And then we were talking about shoplifters yesterday. I couldn't believe this picture I saw. excuse me. A couple of guys walked into a TJ Maxx.
Mm.
Loaded up on clothes, and walked out. They're walking out like not running away. They're walking out.
Just and casual can as do if anything. They paid.
Yeah, nobody can do anything. And that's because they relaxed the laws against that here.
In California?
In L.A. And it's our attorney general. His name is Gascon, George Gascon. He's the D.A. And... yeah, so shoplifting became, they're saying, I mean, the police are saying they're probably just going to get like tickets or something, you know? I mean, imagine that. So when it's like that, anybody can just walk in and take their stuff, you know? And then they tell the employees not to confront them because I guess the businesses have insurance, you know? So they figure, you know, they don't want to risk the employees. I can understand.
But now insurance eventually is going to be really, really expensive.
Right. And people are going to fucking close the stores. I mean, what the hell? You know, how can you run a business like that?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. That's
crazy.
Yeah,
it's a thing. It's a thing. And if you look it up, you'll see a picture of this guy walking out. And he's holding like, he must be holding 20 pairs of jeans or something. How, he's just walking
what
out.
Should I search to see it? TJ Maxx walkout?
Oh, shoplift. Yeah. Something like that. But, yeah, they're sending a message that the criminals are winning. And, yeah, they're saying the police are saying they didn't even run out. They just walked out. I mean, imagine walking into a store, picking up whatever you want, and leaving. You know?
My gosh.
So, yeah, it's so really that's what we've come to. Yeah, that's what we've come to, you know. It really bothers me, man. Really bothers me. I mean, that's why a lot of people are leaving here, you know. The laws have become so shit and protecting the criminals, you know. And like also the ones where they let a lot of prisoners go, you know, the ones with supposedly lesser crimes or something, you know. And they voted for that as well.
It depends what the crime is, but...
Yeah, but I mean...
If it's like weed, man, and now weed's legal...
But I don't think that's the... no, that's not what they were talking about. But I don't remember that, because that happened like a year ago with the elections and everything, when people had to vote for it. Or I don't know if it was even put up for vote, to be honest with you. Yeah. Do you know the actress Mina Suvari?
Yeah.
She just came out with a book, and she says she was sexually abused, faced drug addiction, and she says, I was living a double life. So for those who don't know, if you remember the movie American Beauty,
yeah.
I think that's where she made her debut, and she played the part amazingly well, you know?
Yeah, she was great.
And yeah, she became one of my favorite actresses, you know, because... I don't know. She was just, maybe because I saw her once at a restaurant. You know, we went to Malibu for a to eat, which we seldom do. But this was like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. A long time ago.
She was also in American Pie.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, I think that was actually, well, yeah, I think that was actually her debut.
Oh, was it?
Maybe. I don't know.
I guess American Beauty achieved stardom for her.
Yeah, they were both in 1999, so I'm not sure which one was first.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 20 years ago.
Wow.
But she says between the ages of 12 and 20, she was a victim of repeated sexual abuse. She's 42 now. And just like we talked about, you know, women, it's almost every woman goes through this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling to me that... this is so prevalent out there, you know?
Yeah. And I was having a conversation with my friend about this the other day, and he and I were discussing, like, he was like, well, you know, like, both parties have things about the other, like, both men have things about women and women have things about men. And I was like, look, I understand that there's a lot of complaints that men have about women. I go, but none of those complaints regard a man fearing for his life. Women are just straight up afraid of men.
Right.
We're just afraid of men, you know, not again, not all men, because I know that's really important to say. Right. But
in general, you're saying
in general. Yeah. Like, when have you ever crossed the street because a woman was walking down the road?
Right.
You know what I mean? I've crossed the road so many times because there was a man walking behind me, or like clutched my bag, or like hurried to my car and locked the door. Like, I know women can like rob you and things like that, but I'm never really concerned that a woman is going to like assault me or kill me or anything like that. You know?
No, I mean, the percentage is not even close.
Yeah. So that's why it's never going to be quite equal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That creates a problem, you know, because people can't trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's true.
So she said she was living a double life. She didn't let people know about this. And, her family moved to South Carolina. And I guess her parents had their own problems, I guess, you know, which is usually the case.
Mm.
You know, if you can't, because if you're focused on your kids, you would know when something's wrong with them, you know. As much as they try to hide it, this is pretty big, you know. It's a serious thing. So, you know, she said she was just like losing herself in the in drugs, you know, acting out and shit like that, parties.
So she was kind of on her own here.
Yeah.
Did she say who sexually assaulted her?
Yeah, one was a friend of her older brother, started to pursue her, and when she was under 13, and he brought her to a private room in his family's home and raped her. And she says, part of me died that day, you know? And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're destroying a person's soul, you know?
Yeah.
So she came out with a book called The Great Peace, P-E-A-C-E. And, Then at 17, she met someone who sexually, emotionally abused her during a three-year relationship. You know, that's one of those things where she can't leave. You wonder why they don't leave, but it's not that simple.
It's not that simple.
Right?
Yeah.
They feel like they're attached to the other person. They don't feel safe to go out on their own.
They're being manipulated. They're being put down.
They don't have anywhere to go, you know?
They're being told that, like, they can't do anything, like... Usually the manipulative partner psychologically weakens the other so that they feel like they need them.
Right.
Yeah,
and can't survive on their own.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's horrible.
Yeah. She says it was a process of destruction, which is exactly what that is. Yeah. And talking about something related, I guess Harvey Weinstein is being extradited to California now for a sexual assault trial. So from New York, he's serving 23 years. And now in California, he's facing 11 counts. So this guy ain't getting out of it, you know. He's not going to survive very long.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you do if you're like facing, you know, the rest of your life in jail? You know, I guess he should have thought about it before, you know, it was so systematic that it's hard to forgive him or to understand him even, you know?
Yeah, he better get comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, the trial's going to be in mid-July. And so he's got problems. He's got problems. And just look how people fall from grace because of sexual misconduct and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and people do it so many times, you know? Even if it's not I mean, for sex, you know? Mm. So it, even if it's not a crime, you know, if someone goes and they cheat on their wife and they're like in big, like Anthony Weiner, for example. Remember him from New York? The guy that was going to run for mayor where he was busted for sexting with a with a minor.
Yeah.
His wife was, I can't remember her, but she worked for Hillary Clinton.
I think people get high off it. They get a rush from it. And then when they keep doing it and not get, it's like they don't get a rush necessarily from doing the thing. They get a rush from not getting caught.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like I would not get a rush out of that at all.
No.
Out of being caught. I mean, that's the worst thing.
Yeah.
You know? But people do crazy things, you know, and I don't understand. I mean, sex is drives people to do a lot of things. It's a very strong drive.
Mm.
But still, you got to keep in your mind, you got to ask yourself, how is this going to affect my life? What's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. There's a TikTok account that it's a team of people, and they basically trap pedophiles by conversing with them and seeming like they're like a young kid,
right,
and then saying like, let's meet up. And then when they meet up, they confront them on camera.
Right. I remember they had that on one of the networks, I think NBC or something.
It's just wild that there's such an abundance of people that are willing to meet up with a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And then they sting them, you know? I mean, the police, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, you know?
I think so, too.
That's a good thing. But, you know, what are you going to do? It sucks. And finally, I guess there's like a big confrontation now. It has been going on for a while between Rand Paul and Fauci. Is accusing him of lying about his connection and the funding for a gain of function, which was, we discussed that before. That's what they're working on in the one laboratory. Mm. Gain of function is taking a virus and making it more stronger,
I guess.
Yeah. And more deadly, too. I mean, yeah, I don't know. What, are they fucking bored? They're doing shit like that, you know? I mean, what the hell, you
know? Who knows what their agenda is?
Right. So they're accusing him of that the National Institute of Health was funding that, you know? And Fauci says no and all this stuff. So, you know, I'm curious to see what's going to happen, because if he lies to Congress, man, he's in deep shit, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like it would be really difficult to find out the actual truth.
Yeah.
That's the case with everything now.
No, that's true. But I think eventually they will, you know. There's just too many people investigating this. And eventually I think they'll find out, you know, whether the Chinese are cooperating or not.
Yeah.
But, yeah. In the meantime, we're just fucking, everybody's depressed from this pandemic. And it's not over yet.
No, it's not over.
Not over. All right. Well, anybody that wants to help with the pandemic, we're welcoming you to do that. I don't know how, but
fix our problems.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jen. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.